Okay, so that is on, it's.
We're good, we'll call them to order.
Okay.
Here we have one, two, three, four, five, six, that's all there is of us. So everybody's here.
Good, I do meeting.
Did you lose it?
I'm back.
There you go. Okay. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes.
Make motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Luke. Any discussion? Not?
You didn't catch anything this time?
I didn't.
Last time you caught that, I was.
You were absent.
I appreciate that you read these in detail, so, thank you.
That's good.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, thank you very much. Treasurer's report.
I just got out a statement. I seem to not be getting the weed cutting statement very often.
And that should be, you might want to go down there.
I know.
I've had a little trouble too.
Okay, well, the current statement I have is for the other account.
Yeah.
And I have a whole bunch of them there, and I was like, well, I don't have a, up to, like, within a month for the weed cutting. But the current statement I have for just regular account has a balance of $9,789.40. And that's the same balance we had before, and I wouldn't know the checks since then, so.
No, we didn't have any mystery depositors or anything?
No, well, no, not deposits, nobody returned checks to us.
Okay.
So there has been no activity, this is the account that we drain things out of, and nothing's changed. This is dated February 5th through March 4th, when there were no charges.
So if you go down there or talk to them, let me know what's going on.
Yeah, I was telling myself I should just stop there, but I had all these piled up, and I started looking at them like, I don't have anything within a month or two, so I'll stop there tomorrow.
Maybe they don't think weed's growing in winter.
Well, nothing's really changing in accounts.
No, no, no.
So that's the treasurer's report.
Okay. Heard the treasurer's report, any discussion? If not, I.
Anybody wants to see, this is the current one, anybody wants to see it?
I accept the motion to approve.
I'll approve.
Tom? You have a second? Dave? Any other further discussion, if not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, thank you. And then, public comment? Yes?
So, this is Robin Schmidt, W8009, County Road Secretary, for the record. I'm just interested in helping to collaborate on item number six.
Okay.
The discussion of the collaboration effort.
Yeah.
And
the facilitated.
Happy to help.
The facilitated meeting.
Yeah.
We finally have a title.
Perfect.
Discuss agency reports. Tim?
I was trying to pull up a date for you all, and it won't, it's not, oh, here it is.
By the way, we put you earlier on the agenda, appreciating that you take the time to come, Tim, so.
And if you have to leave.
Feel free to leave.
Yes.
But I just, I hate you, last time, sometimes you sit with these long meetings, and I know they're not.
I appreciate it.
So we don't get up to the top, near the top this time.
So, yes, and this doesn't have the, so I wanted to bring up the fish thief, the Great Lakes mystery. That is.
April 8th, right?
It's not showing up on here, but. Oh yeah, April 8th, 5:30 p.m. Going to be at the Weber Center for the Performing Arts.
And if you want a ticket, you have to
go there.
Click the link.
Yeah.
In your email.
What's it called?
The fish.
Fish thief.
The fish thief. It's a story
thief?
About
thief.
Like stealing. Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. Sort of steal. Yeah. It's what lamprey do.
It's about invasive species. So,
okay. Tell more.
Has a lot to do with the work that USGS does here locally. They do a lot of work in the Great Lakes that deal with lamprey. So it's a really, I've heard it's a really cool story.
I've seen the film.
Yeah.
I think I have two actions.
So this is a film?
It's a film.
It's a film, okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put that on the radar. For us, you know, we're things kind of affecting the lake going on. trying to get some work done on Halfway Creek. We've got a few kind of issues with some of the dikes that we've had for years. They're getting old. We've had them in for repair. There's a portion of that that was kind of contracted through IRA for Ducks Unlimited to do.
Yeah.
We're not sure how those things are panning out exactly, so we're trying to get some work done on that. Been doing an assessment there.
Where on Halfway Creek?
Halfway Creek Marsh. It's the pools that the sediment comes into, and it filters off and then goes down into three different ponds.
Okay.
Those dikes are getting old. We've put rat pens in them just recently on all of them but one. We just have some work that we're trying to pick away at doing.
Is Brian Shue still working on that? He's the NRCS technician that went to work for.
He did a little bit, and then that was under NACA, and so.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of different
yeah.
grants and funding sources that we're trying to work to get that done. But that's going on. Our biological technicians, we're working with American Conservation Experience to get a couple biotechs here. We had a little bit of struggle with getting some of the hiring done through our seasonal, or normally we get some seasonal biotechs here, so we're combining that with Winona District and Trempealeau Refuge, so we're basically working on bigger areas, kind of taking people, like an example is tomorrow, we're gonna have a group from those three refuges working at the Ryder Track, which is just across the Trempealeau across county line. Black River Bottoms, Tank Creek area,
oh, yeah.
some forestry work. So we've had that stuff going on. But that's our plans for using the biotechs. It's been working pretty well to set up a system where we look at the work that needs to be done, whether it's wildlife surveys, habitat work, any type of management or maintenance, and then we kind of pull all of our resources together people-wise and then do it during the week. So usually our Mondays and Fridays are the planning days, so we look at the weather and then set the schedule for where we're going to have people working. One of the cool things, we've got some cool stuff that's going to be coming up with the 250th birthday for the country, and so we're going to have some exciting stuff with fishing. If you enjoyed our River Rat Relay, there'll be something similar like that, but it's going to be refuge-wide, so,
ooh, okay.
So the whole stretch. So stay tuned for that. We do have some new stickers over at our office if you're interested in those. They're really cool. So fish with a top hat on it. It's a American flag top hat.
How do you get a top hat on a fish?
I don't know.
Oh.
You're going to have to ask Hallie that. But it was a cool idea.
No, they can't wear glasses because they don't have ears.
That's right.
Oh, that's a good point.
So there's going to be some places where people, the River Rat Relay worked, like, we had stations throughout the refuge of the La Crosse District for our 100th anniversary, and people would go to those, take a photograph, or, there'd be a question on there, they had to answer another sheet, and then they brought them in and they got a patch. And you wouldn't believe, we had to buy more patches because we had so many people coming in with those patches. But it takes them to cool places around the area. This one's going to have some kind of a fishing theme, so it should be fun. Fun event for this year. So,
what's the date of that event?
Well, it won't start till after open fishing starts, even though the river's always open. But.
The season.
So it's the season.
Yeah,
okay,
it'll be like a
season
wide thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and they'll probably put a press release out with all of that stuff.
How does the fishing season work on the river? If it's
wide open.
It's wide open. So it's not like you don't have to follow the Minnesota where there's the.
Well, if you fish in Minnesota, you do.
But it's the river and it's not Minnesota. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fishing open in Minnesota always is Mother's Day weekend, and that's a giant thing.
Yeah,
so
opening day of fishing is nothing for the river because it's open.
It's already open,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So I thought, like, it's, if you're between the tracks, your license works in both places, right? That's what they sort of say.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Oh, and then we'll be working on with assuming with Bryce Perry and the permit for the dredging on North Shore. We're trying to get another meeting set up for the agency team. It's just getting people scheduled, and we're trying to, we're kind of the end of our forestry work field season, and so we're trying to get a lot more done on that and get a lot of things hammered out, but I think probably in April we'll have another meeting coming up, if I can get everybody there.
Yeah.
So, that would be helpful.
So hopefully move things forward a little bit, maybe? With the.
Move things forward.
With the agency team.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, could you just jump back to the dikes at Halfway Creek, so it's not, this is not beaver muskrat related issue?
Oh, we've had beaver issues up there.
But I mean, the fence went in, but is this more of that, or is it some other type of issue with the dikes?
If you remember some of those structures we had, we start getting water movement around the structure instead of through it, and that's what we're getting on the upper.
Okay.
It's not catastrophic, but it's definitely not good for the deck.
Yeah.
So we got it kind of temporarily repaired.
But as flashy as the creek is, that's kind of normal.
Oh, well, no, but yeah, the main water control structure, you know, it's a culvert, and so water should go through the culvert, not around it, you know, or under it, and so that's what you got.
Well, I mean, with the soils you're working with and everything, they're leakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are you talking about the entrance culvert where the stop logs go in? No. Is it going around that? Or
the first pond, Pool A.
Uh-huh.
So it comes in the inlet and goes to the first pond.
Right.
Has water control structure there.
Okay. But the inlet, you have stop logs on the first, right at Halfway Creek where it comes off. Is that still in good shape?
Yeah, that's open. That's wide open.
Right. And I know when Halfway Creek comes up, it just seems like it goes in too much, or it's hard to control.
It does pretty well. I mean, it's always flashing floods in there.
Yeah.
But that's part of the purpose of it, is to take some of that load off.
But the next structure, the culvert, that's the one that's...
Yeah. So last year, winter 24, 25, there were beavers in Halfway Creek. They built a big dam and backed it all. Any issues with them now, or are they...
We had issues all last summer in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then this... So we've dealt with that problem, and then thought they were all gone, then they came back. They always keep coming back.
Yeah.
And so then during open season for trapping, we had some targeted effort that worked.
Voluntary, or would they need coercion to go in there? Yeah.
Coercion from the trappers?
Yeah.
No, they were voluntary.
Okay.
Most of our trappers will work if we tell them where there's problem areas.
So you do a little reminding, and then they respond and take care of it.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah. Can we remind them that there's how many beavers on Lake Alaska?
So
a lot.
So
I'd say 10 on my channel, for sure.
What's the knowledge about where the replacement beaver are coming from? Are they coming from upstream, or are they coming from downstream?
I have no idea.
Well, sometimes the trappers know.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, there's plenty of food in there for them.
Oh, yeah.
As long as there's food there, they're going to come.
Well, there's an infinite amount of trees. The saplings, they like to chew all the bark off. There's millions of them.
Well, if you've got a new beaver, you can get them all.
I made a vow to my wife that I'm not going to kill beavers, so I can't do it. I just harass them a little, that's all.
Okay.
Do you guys need anything more from me?
No, I just appreciate your ability that you do come to these consistently. I just what we want to make the best use of your time.
Okay.
So
yeah, I can stick around.
It's you're welcome to. I don't know if there's anything else on the agenda.
Maybe I'll ask a question. The One Mississippi, and they're looking at June 1st to the 15th for these activities on the river. Is the service aware of any of that at all?
I heard something today about One Mississippi, but I don't know what it was. They didn't
I'll send you what I've got.
Okay.
And yeah, I think you at least ought to be aware of what's going on. And I'm pretty sure, I could be, this is all hearsay, but Mark Aoki, the former superintendent, head of the USGS lab, he's trying to put a discussion together for the public about the importance of islands and the challenges that they have on the Mississippi River, what the dynamics of Mississippi River islands.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's for sure or anything, but I just know that it's going on.
That's what I heard about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's another, one Mississippi, between June 1st and June 15th, just tries to schedule public engagement events all up and down the river.
Yeah.
You know, Isaac Walker League had that event at Goose Island last year. And, you know, they just ask for the NGOs or any entity, if they're going to do a river event, put it in there, and then they put it on their calendar and publish it everywhere. So it, generally, public engagement events of some sort.
Yeah.
It's, that's what we're thinking. If we do summer events like our pontoon tours or a social or something, we would definitely roll that in to get as many people as we can involved. So, okay.
The Friends are having their, I think tomorrow is their annual meeting, so I know some folks in here have been on the Friends or been part of the Friends.
Yeah, but you have to let them know you're coming.
Yeah, they're having actually a raptor program for it, so with live raptors, so that should be cool.
That should be.
And where is that going to be?
It's at the office room there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think so.
What's the membership now, a couple hundred thousand?
A couple hundred thousand, yeah.
And then you have a Midway Railroad Prairie, like a training event.
24th.
Katie has on March 25th. Do you feel like you need more volunteers for that, or?
Yeah, it's being spearheaded by the Prairie Enthusiasts.
Right.
So and they were, I think they were trying to partner with Bryce Prairie and our friends.
Is this primarily a cut-em thing, or it's not a burn, is it?
Cut-em thing.
Yeah.
Vegetation work. They hope to have somebody that's like a certified applicator. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this something you want advertised more widely to get more volunteers, or do you feel like you're
I'm not
up?
Sure what they'll get, but yeah.
Okay.
So what's happening?
It's an invasive species control event on Midway Railroad Prairie. It's over by kind of old T there. It's a never been cultivated, disturbed area. Has a lot of very interesting native plants.
So the slope on it is like this, and it goes down the railroad track.
Okay.
And it's got really cool stuff on it.
Prickly pear cactus.
And they burned it occasionally, but it's a dry music, very dry music prairie.
Yeah.
So it's easy. There's open areas for invasive plants to come in.
I suspect back in the, you know, after European settlement, when
British
people were trying to not burn things, the railroad track went right by there, and I imagine wood cinders and steam engines coming up.
It burned all the time.
Burned it.
That's why it's there.
That's why it's still there. Yeah.
They used to be owned by the county, and we swapped them, that piece, to the Fish and Wildlife Service, and the county got Injun Island. So it was an even up match. Except for $500, and I forget who.
So you two guys, there were two parcels over by OT. That was one of them. There was a second parcel.
Where the chiropractor
places. It's okay. So that ended up getting. So it was envisioned as an office at one point, but then
yeah.
It got sold.
Yeah,
it was
too small.
Okay. Then did it get sold or after the swap?
I think it was an exchange.
Yeah.
Oh, another exchange for.
Yeah, for.
I thought it was kind of all one, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember.
I think
exactly.
So it was Hinchin for
I've
those two
it,
pieces. And then
yeah.
I just wondered, did this come up because we're using Hinchin Island for university and stuff? So that we were just revisiting this, and that second piece came up, and I didn't know where it went after it was, must have been sold off or traded for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sold in exchange for another.
It was really too small for a visitor center.
I think it's way better what you got.
Yeah.
This was in 1996, was what I think, 6 or 7 was when that swap went. First swap happened.
Okay. That it then, Tim?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Discuss and act on facilitated meeting for collaboration and funding of Lake Onalaska, Alaska's future. So, actually Robin sort of threw this idea out after listening to our discussions about how to expand the Lake District. And then we involved University Extension to help us facilitate the community discussion. I'll call it a community discussion. And this is an idea, Robin, I can use the list you had there. What are the various entities that have a role, responsibility as it relates to lake management, and what are their strengths and weaknesses? Who benefits, and from what in terms, make viability from recreation fishery perspective, and what is their role in engagement? What are the ecological benefits of the lake, and what may be at risk from continued lake degradation? What might a strategy look like that includes all affected parties, including regulatory, financial, technical, and recreational aspects? And who could be what could future steps be to continue and move forward, timeline, regulatory, financial, cooperative? So this is big thinking, all right? It's the whole enchilada. And some of the people that we might want to be inviting to the facilitated event would be U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Geological Survey, DNR, and I don't know, did we think about Minnesota DNR, or did we just Wisconsin DNR? I can't remember. UW Cross River Study Center, Onalaska Lake Protection District, Town of Onalaska, Town of Campbelltown, City of Onalaska, City of La Crosse, La Crosse County, and then the bait shops, marine shops, local fishing and hunting guides, Explore La Crosse, La Crosse Chamber of Commerce, professional fishing organizations, local vacation businesses, rentals, restaurants, and then other nonprofits like Lake Onalaska Rehabilitation Coalition, Bracebury Conservation Association, the Isaac Walton League, and there's probably others. And you're not going to get everybody, but if you can get a representative from each sector, or two or three, then that would help. And so what Extension, we had an hour meeting with Extension, and they were going to put together sort of a design that they could come back to us and say, this is what we want to do and how to do it. And they do this with a lot of organizations, with chambers of commerce, with business groups, with a business. I mean, this is the kind of thing they do all the time. And so in this case, we're looking at a much broader perspective. Not the whole watershed, by the way, just what's local here. But how do we get more community involvement? How do we get more resources? How do we get more collaboration and focus it on Lake Onalaska? Not necessarily the river, but on Lake Onalaska. So, yeah, Robin.
Is it okay to talk?
Yeah.
Do you want to open the floor?
Okay. That's the kind of motion to open the floor.
I'll move.
A second.
So motion by Fritz, second by Rob. All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks. So the purpose of going to Extension is that they don't have a vested interest in the outcome. So it was, I thought it might be more effective to get greater participation if we had kind of a neutral party trying to pull folks together. And that, what comes out of that might inform the Lake District as to potential for expansion or things like that. So it seemed like maybe we need to have that first before we really look at viability of expanding Lake District boundaries.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the background.
And this is, you can see it's a long list, right? And it's a big list, and it's an important list. But it's not threatening. It's just trying to get what does that organization think would be the way to go, or what resources that they might want to commit, or
does
the different ways to approach the problem.
Does anybody in here know, I'm going to say, just which government entity makes the final decision on the lake?
Actually, that's part of the problem.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. You guys are as knowledgeable as anybody. That's why I'm asking.
It depends on what you're talking about.
What decision?
stay in status quo or do different, something different with the lake? I mean, status quo is kind of why people are coming to these meetings, because it's, is the status quo the lake eventually turning into a meadow? Or does it need to be proactively worked on to maintain it as a lake, not as eventually all lakes fill in? It's just the nature of nature.
So one of the first questions that would be discussed at this broader group is who has authority for what, and to try to understand that and put that in perspective, because there isn't a single entity.
And we'll try to keep that
simple. Does that.
That's, well, I mean, I understand. I mean, and I guess part of it is, if that decision's made, what then can be done to urge people, whoever has that? If nothing's going to change, then we're doing a lot of meetings for nothing. Might as well just go home and watch it fill in. Or can we spur on whatever division that is to at least allow things to happen? But I don't think anybody knows what's allowed, correct? I mean.
Well, there's been a long history of legislation and money and projects to improve habitat on the river. But the river sort of overwhelmed that between 2010 and 2019 with the amount of water and sediment that came down the river. So now how do you meet that challenge? What more is needed? I'm sure, you know, there's all kinds of things that come up, like, well, we don't have the financial resources we used to have, or we don't have the staffing we used to have, or if we do have the staffing, we also have these other things that have come up since then. And so, it, you know, and that's how you can sort it out as far as who does what and why. And why isn't it not getting done, or why is it getting done? You can sort that out too.
And what is it?
What is it?
Are we talking about fish habitat? Are we talking about water, you know, other kinds of restoration? Are we talking about sedimentation? Are we talking about invasive species? Are we so many issues that multitudes of organizations and agencies have input on?
And when this was first, you know, the big projects were first proposed and established, PFAS and, yeah, there were PCBs, but the number of man-made chemicals was much smaller than it is today. And the challenges were less. So agencies could focus more on single targets.
And I think the other thing this meeting does is it kind of helps explain in one setting all the different authorities and responsibilities. So you're not just meeting with Fish and Wildlife, you're not just meeting with the Corps, you're having this broader discussion to.
So it goes to that question of when somebody says, well, there's we got a problem out here, oh, that's DNR. No, it's not. It's a whole bunch of agencies.
It's a great way to get everybody at the table to start working on a solution.
Yeah, that's the that's.
And that's, I think, where we need to start, I agree.
Yeah.
Tim, can I speak?
Is that, of course. Always.
Yep.
So one thing that this agency team is trying to do, and I know the Corps has been working on it, we've been trying to put something together, and that's the whole idea, is get all these parties together, and because it's complex. It's complex for us, but putting all of that together so that we can actually get to answering some questions of what do we need to do and what can we do and how do we make that work. Because it is extremely complex. And one of the examples there we were going to use is Minnesota DNR is doing one of those, a similar thing to the dredging project. They're doing wanting to do some dredging and then placement on government land. And it is a ordeal for the state of Minnesota. It is not a simple thing, you know. And so when we get that question from a, you know, like, it's come up with the dredging here, can we just place it? It is not something where you can just say, yes, you can do that. You know, it goes through this huge process that has a lot of expenses behind it. But I think if we bring all the parties together, we can figure out some and streamline some of that stuff. Even with that, it hasn't been streamlined. But it's a challenge, but I think having that knowledge can help citizens and help us work together
can
to
I
get some of those
can
things.
Can I kind of give that a little perspective?
Yeah.
Back in the 90s and the early 2000s, the car was doing hundreds, if not thousands, of feet of riprapping islands to protect archaeological.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And now you say, well, this island's eroding away. We want to. Oh no! Then we own it. Well, you own it anyway. And that's the one I don't get that response. Okay. It didn't, that never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
And if we could work our way through that one, I think it would have a lot of meaning to people.
And that's where I think bringing everybody together and having them there. It's the same way with like the vegetation stuff.
Yeah.
That was have everybody at the table.
So Tim, are you saying that you guys are working on something like that?
Yeah.
And would you think that would be duplicative of what we're trying to do with extension, or do you think it will fall?
I think the extension would help that.
Yeah, it would. And what we're trying to do is get this message to the general public.
Yeah.
That's the deal. And it might even be a mechanism that the agencies can, you know, clear up what their mission is.
Yeah. Because I will say it's frustrating for me as a manager to say, oh, I see something I want to do or work on. You guys have seen me do that over the years. Oh, you know, the place got plugged, let's fix it, you know. And then you start looking at, okay, this is going to take me a lifetime.
Yep.
To get this done, when we have all the resources, we have the money, we have everybody saying okay to it.
But it's not happening.
But it's not happening. And so I've run into that myself, too. And so what do? I can only do so many things with my job, so I have to give up those things, you know, and say, we have to do other things. But I think if we do that, we bring these people together, get them everybody on board, and start getting some of those things loosened up, or figuring out how to, I'm not saying work around regulatory things, but being able to streamline some of that. So, and some of that might be through having planning that everybody's agreeing on. We need to do these things. Everybody's agreeing on that, so it moves forward, you know, and everybody does their part on it.
So, Mark, should we include Tim as we get information from Carl?
Yeah. And hopefully,
there's a hand up there, so I really want to talk.
So,
that's his hand.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Is Carl from Extension?
That's it.
Is Carl is?
Nice, sir.
Carl Green.
Yes. Carl Green.
He is the local government state specialist now.
Okay.
And he's housed here in La Crosse.
Oh, great.
And has served in the La Crosse area for many years.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
When I retired from Extension, somebody else came in. They didn't last very long. Then Carl came in, and he really took off.
And Charlotte Peters? Is in the position that Carl had, so
right.
Charlotte is also involved in this. She's like the staff person at the local level.
So for them, it's a good thing they got two people, and that's a whole lot better than one when you're doing something like this.
So the thought was that this would be sometime this summer, maybe June, maybe July.
Yeah.
So it's not imminent, but we've got enough time to plan.
Yeah,
it.
So they're coming back with a report. With a lot of this stuff included in it and how they would structure it or want us to structure it. And then we would then come back. And
so did you guys already meet with them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back with a report?
Yeah.
Well, it's just about what the first steps, like how do we want to meet? How do we? If there was no content in it, it was just structuring.
Sure.
How do we go?
Learning about what they are.
How do we get everybody together?
Who's everybody? I'm still trying to figure out the wheelhouse of this whole thing.
Okay.
I don't know who everybody is.
So everybody is everybody.
The DNR, the Corps, the town on Alaska, anybody who...
And that's everybody that's concerned about our lake.
Yeah.
Right, but who has responsibility?
The responsibility.
For the lake. Responsibility for what?
Yes, for the lake. Because if you get said responsibility for the river, we'd have to build a really big room.
That's why I don't, you know, I've only driven by 1,000 lakes, I mean, in my whole world. But, so I don't, you know, I live on this one now, and when you look at it from the tax bill, it's because you live on it, they charge you more. I don't know where it goes, you know, you get that part of it.
That's like that everywhere.
What's that?
That's where it is everywhere.
Well, I know that, but I'm trying, but you know, you guys are working so hard on this, and I just can't get my hands on the horn of which way you're gonna drive that bull. I'm sorry, I just don't get it.
I'm 100% with you, I get it.
I mean, I don't know if you gotta put the gas on something, or, and, you know, Tim's working hard with his group, I don't know who this, like I said, I don't know who this is, that's, or how you.
What we might need.
I don't know, I'm just totally confused, maybe I'm just, I don't know.
What we might want is, an outcome might not be an outcome that's, I'm gonna say allowed. I mean, no, but no, I've only been on these committees for a year or two, and I've really joined to at least find out what's possible to have happen. I mean, if, like I said, if it's just gonna be status quo and it's gonna happen, then what else can you do?
So, you know what I mean? Let me go back in history for you.
Great.
In the 1970s, there was a lot of conflict over the navigation channel and the backwaters and how they were dredging and putting.
I remember that. That's when you had good places, the beach, and drink beer and ski.
Yeah, right.
That's how that was back then.
But at some point, you keep, when you use up this piece, then you have to use this piece, and then you have, pretty soon you've used it all up.
Right.
And so then that kind of, at the same time, there was the GREAT project, which was the Great River Environmental Action Team. And they had meetings all up and down the river with the public and with local government and with counties and cities and everybody. And the wreckers all sitting there. What are the problems? What are the solutions? How do we implement them? I'm not saying they came up with a lot of clear answers, but at least they defined the problem as they saw it. So then you fast forward to about 1980s. And then a whole bunch of groups up and down the river, most of them were river rats, said, we need action in Congress. This is a federal resource. We gotta do something. And so mailbags full of postcards that were all distributed up and down the river hit the congressional offices. And then the Water Resources Committee took up the issue, and legislation was drafted for the what at the time was called the Environmental Management Plan, which is now the Mississippi River Restoration Plan. Then they had programs and money, and I don't know how the staffing part of that worked. But they had programs and money, and I think some of the money went for staffing, I'm not sure. And, yeah.
I need to put a message out to our people online, Goober.
Yeah.
So the folks online, we're about to lose our free Zoom, which is only 40 minutes. I will restart it as soon as I can. You will probably need to log back in. Hopefully everybody got that. Okay.
So then the first project was on Lake Onalaska, and it was a combination of dredging the channels, building the islands, and building the highway. And it just turned out that we were lucky to combine the two projects and save $1.5 million. But from there on, there was never any such combination of projects because there wasn't that opportunity, or at least it wasn't recognized as an opportunity. And so then there's fisheries projects, there's waterfall projects, there's, and then there's the long-term resource monitoring, which is, they're saying, well, we know the river's there, what's going on? And so the long-term resource monitoring, which is the five states, am I correct? Yeah, the five states, and I think it's federal money that pays for what they
do. And it's certain pools.
Yeah, there's four pools. Four,
eight, and 13
in the Neopen River. So they monitor the conditions in the river. Is it worse? Is it better? You know, what's showing up? And that's where we are today. And they renamed the Mississippi Restoration Program. That's what that program essentially saved Pool A from being a mud hole to a honest God, it was. And now it's a fish and wildlife habitat. But the threat is that there's so much sediment and water coming down the river, or it did come down the river, that this is my thought now, that it's changed how you're gonna have to approach to rehabilitate the river. who's affected by this? Everybody that owns it.
Well,
who owns it?
That's why I wanted to ask second was, all the nice houses that do those people care? I mean, they have the investment. There's so much more of that now.
Yeah.
Than there was back, way, way back.
Yeah.
You know.
But there was still the person that rented this skiff at Schaefer's,
yeah,
or that landed at the boat landing, or,
yeah,
you know, had a houseboat. And they all had the same concerns as, you know, I'm not catching fish where I used to catch fish, or I'm not seeing the ducks where I used to see the ducks. And that's, you know, that's grown much more of a threat than it used to be.
So that's the last 30 years, I'd be saying, Mark.
Yeah, I think so.
Of that. There's been this cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
Of everybody
but,
wondering.
But also, but the programs were there doing their job.
Yeah.
It's just that it was that period of time with so much water and so much sediments that overwhelmed it. To me, it's a tipping point on the river.
Okay.
That's to me. And I've heard other biologists say the same thing. So what the implications are is that the river's no longer going to be a destination for tourists.
No, we need to figure out a plan to
yeah,
fix it and
yeah,
get everybody at the table. And
I mean, that's not the end game, but that is important. It's the important outcome. So,
yeah,
and it's not just for tourists, it's for locals. Why do a lot of people live here? I know why I live here. So.
No question.
Yeah.
And you know, in tourism, I mean that the big boats, they just have trouble. They just don't. They have a hard time getting people out. I mean, we used to bus them all over, but it's just a struggle for them. You know, it gets a flood, they can't go up because the smokestacks are too high. You know, all those kind of crazy things. I mean, all these disappointed people.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. But I just, you know, I'm sorry. It's probably just me, but my dad grew up. You know, he's been gone now, but he grew up on right above the farm that they grew up on. I don't know how they landed there, but you know, they bought it in 1854, and then he was there before the dam, and then all the rock for the dam came down from our farm. You know, there's still an old road there when they built the,
yeah,
all that stuff was from there. And they used to walk, the water, there was no water when he was a kid. There was five brothers, they were out there walking around, tearing around.
Before the dams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got water after that. But I'm trying to see the next step. That's what I'm trying to figure out from you guys.
Well, the next step is how do you deal with that not being as accessible?
Got it.
I mean, that's one thing. And is how and also, it's not being as productive.
So what's the danger point?
The danger,
when do you fall off the cliff?
I don't know.
But the river's filling in fast, there's
yeah,
invasive species,
yeah,
things are changing big time
from 10
years ago from where we are now.
I think the thing is getting all the different shareholders together, because we're all looking at it as the benefit to us.
That's a good term.
There's a whole bunch of people that they're just there to manage or not manage the river so the river is ecologically still well. That's the best way to look at it, right? I mean, it's not just our use of the river. It's make sure that the river is there naturally. It should be more duck habitat, possibly. That's why I think you have to get those people together and have maybe just, it's just our little area. But if our little area knows what the national plan is, at least we know we're not just butting our head up against.
Lake Alaska is just a reflection of the rest of the pools.
Right. But I mean, I want to make sure that we're trying to accomplish things that the grander plan is already laid down. Does that make sense? I mean, on your as a government person, wouldn't that make
yeah,
sense?
It's all a national wildlife refuge. So
right,
anything you do falls under the Refuge Administration Act and all those things that go with that. And so that's what you're dealing with too, that makes it.
And that's hopefully this process will go in the report that they're putting together as a facilitated opportunity, and it'll explain to people, here's why you have to jump through the loops.
So that's you guys writing this report, Tim, am I right with that or wrong? You're not doing it.
No, that's extension.
No, yeah.
I'm lost.
So there's no report yet, where there's a series of facilities.
It's just everybody's trying to get,
that's why I don't know.
We're trying to get to this point.
I'm just trying to figure out.
No, I get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see, how solid the coffee is.
It's coffee.
So what extension does is, it has a process.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
It has a process to do this with groups, and like I said, they do it locally with businesses and chambers of commerce and units of government or whatever. And so then, it means that every report they do is entirely different than the one previous to it, but it has some common themes to it. And one of them is, what are people concerned about? What are the problems that they're facing? How much capital is it gonna take to fix it? How long is it gonna take? What are the benefits and what are the drawbacks? And then what outcomes do people see? And it's the outcomes that you are the end product.
And I think opportunities for collaboration, having a shared, this shared perspective, this shared understanding allows you to have more collaboration because you're not competing with each other. Because I think that's kind of what the gem of extension doing is you have a neutral party that's pulling all this together and soliciting that kind of output from members.
And what extension does, it looks at everything as process. And it's sort of like if you go up to Matthew's Quarry and you look on the back of their sign, it says safety is a process. And so everything's a process. And they just look at it and saying, okay, we're gonna go through this process and hopefully out of it comes these recommendations, suggestions, ideas, whatever. And it's worked in other places, so let's hope it works for us.
So who are these list of players? See, I'm still.
So there's been, what might help you there.
Yeah.
Is let's take the vegetation cutting out there. I'll call it vegetation.
Yep, that's a good one.
Aquatic macrophytes are important for wildlife.
Yep.
Right? So that started with, I'll just say it, when I moved here, there were complaints. I can't get from point A to point B my boat. So what do? Spray the whole lake. You don't know how many times I was told spray the entire lake.
You did or you're going? You could or you didn't?
No, they were wanting it.
Oh, you wanted to? Okay, I didn't hear.
There's not enough money in the federal budget to spray that much.
Nor I, mean, I don't
want
know.
To. You
I don't
know,
know.
From a health standpoint.
Oh, right.
So, because it takes the oxygen out of the water, it kills the fish, right? So, we started looking at, and some of you guys were in here, we put a map up and we started looking at where people like to travel, and we found prop cutting areas, right?
Yep.
And then, okay, we had the permitting folks that were there at the table. We had the Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, USGS, the state, all of those that were mentioned in there. Okay, what do we need to do on this? Well, it's a refuge, so it has to be compatible. So let's see if we can do a compatibility determination. So granted, that's your backyard, right? It's all you guys' backyard, but it's a national resource. So it's just like having a national park in your backyard. It's the person in New York owns it just like you do, right? It's public. And so you have to kind of have that perspective. So that compatibility determination brings everybody into that. So they have the ability to comment on that. We have to make sure it's compatible with the purpose of the refuge, which is hard to do to take vegetation out. But we did. And we gave the public opportunity to comment on it, and now it's something that can happen. But that's how that had to occur,
okay.
And that was bringing those people together. And it worked. But it and I don't think it took terribly long, but...
A couple of years.
Yeah. But once we got everybody kind
yeah,
of agreeing on
it,
it was, but it's not, it is clunky, it's not easy, but it is one of the ways of...
While you're doing that, Mother Nature's doing its own thing, right?
Yep.
That's the problem.
It is, but then even if you have these projects that, like the big one out here, we have some that are in play right now, one for Black River Bottoms, and you may get it in there, and you might be not seeing that happen for 10 years. So that's how the process works. It's just the way the money comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do it.
There's a list of projects. And there's money for this much, but
no, I understand. I just didn't know how you.
And then any little tinker that you do
yeah.
has an effect on everything else. So like you dredge something or you put this, it has an effect on the flow, it has effects on all these other things that that happens. So
let me explain to you the management role on this. It is a refuge.
Right.
And it is Fish and Wildlife Service. But the states and the Corps and a role from USGS on the science side. And I don't know, there might be a few other EPA at times. So all of those people have to agree, according to the legislation, that this is the way to go. And when that happens, then, you know, the River Resources Forum, I mean, who really makes the final decision on the project?
There's voting members.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So that represents all of the governmental interest and the public interest. Because you equate that. And sometimes it doesn't always sit really well with some of
the local public.
You're
talking the property owner guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you, like I said, we were all discussing the ways to improve the lake for people.
Yeah.
That's not his job, really. It's to maintain the lake or have the lake be a national refuge,
right,
so it's correct. So,
right.
So there's two, I'm going to say, sort of opposing things happening there. So I think it's a matter of.
It's wildlife for the people, though.
Right.
That's
right.
I understand that.
It's that whole idea.
It's for people.
That the Park Service has got, it says, and use and protect the resource. Okay, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy. Because people
really
view protection differently.
I mean, there's, when we get all the stakeholders in the room, there's more than two. I think all these viewpoints will come out. But I think it'll be helpful when we have this first meeting. We hope to have all the stakeholders and all the agencies in the room, and one of the first orders of business will be who does what. So I think that'll be really interesting.
I mean, this all got hashed over horrendously with GREAT.
With what?
GREAT. Great River Environmental
Action. Oh, GREAT. Okay.
And that really came out of the core.
The
St. Paul district. But it quickly became.
Oh, it did, actually. I mean, I understand it. It's just getting.
So.
It's almost like getting all of Congress together to make a decision. It's the truth, really. I mean, you have to, and I don't.
That's what we did to get the environmental management plan.
But I almost
Congress made a decision.
But I mean, if there was you get this. I'm going to just make up a number. 7 stakeholders together. If 4 of them decide that this is the way that the action is to be taken on the lake, just because there's a majority of opinion, that still doesn't mean it can happen, can it? Because they're not actually all, each group has its own different thing that they're in charge of, so you can't even tell somebody else to do something about the lake, correct?
I think what we've done before is found ways we can all work together.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, I think this first meeting, when you all hear who the stakeholders are, what they're responsible for, will really help organize it.
You think it's different humans than you had before when we had the last meetings?
Yes.
Okay.
That'll
make a difference.
Mark was talking about GREAT. I mean, we've had major legislation, the Refuge Improvement Act of 1997, but many things have changed since GREAT. So I think if this group's pretty was smaller. So I think we need to get the stakeholders of this place together in the room, and then let's hear what they say and figure out
who. Do you want to read Robin's list of stakeholders? So again,
sure.
Just so he can.
So U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Geological Survey, Wisconsin DNR, UW the Cross River Study Center, Lake Onalaska Protection and Rehabilitation District, Town of Onalaska, Town of Campbell, City of Onalaska, City of La Crosse. Now this all relates to Lake Onalaska. La Crosse County, 8 Marine Shops, Schaefer's Island Outdoors, local fishing and hunting guides, Explore La Crosse, La Crosse Chamber of Commerce, professional fishing organizations, vacation businesses, restaurants, rentals, local nonprofits, Lake Onalaska Rehabilitation Coalition, Grace Prairie Conservation Association, Oregon Association, and the Isaac Walton League, and others. So,
but the first 6 or 7 that you actually listed are the decision makers. The rest of them are just constituents, correct?
They are the major
decision.
Yeah, financial contributors.
I understand, but.
I think they're going to listen. Everybody's going to listen to everybody.
But no, the hoops you jump through are Army Corps of Fish and Wildlife Service, DNR. Those are the hoops you jumped through.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The regulatory.
Regulatory.
At the end of the day, the Corps and the.
But that's not the hoops you jump through to put the plan together. Plan should be based on public involvement right up front. And that's the process that's not working today. And so this would help recreate public interest and public involvement and public understanding if it's done right.
Yep.
Because right now we don't have that.
And I think we could. I think this is a really good idea. It's a good start. It's a very good start.
It is complicated. It's a challenge. It's
well,
a lot
there's
of work.
So many different people doing so many different things, and everybody has an idea of their perfect lake.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I keep telling people it isn't like it's a river, but.
Yeah, it is really a river.
It is.
That's the weird part. We call it a lake, but it keeps flowing.
A lake connected to a river.
It got a name put on it, and it's there. So we're going through the hoops that allow that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, because we're a lake district.
Thank you. That helped a little.
Hey,
well, I think
I'm going through the same growing pains as you. I've been here a year longer.
Yeah. No doubt. The coffee is still foggy,
well,
no matter which way you look at it.
So an average lake district, like Bass Lake up in whatever county.
A lake that's surrounded for 360 degrees all the way around. That's
360,
different.
Maybe a small watershed.
Yeah.
It's got
whatever.
It's got maybe a little village or something on it that's all part of the lake district. It's got pieces of town that are affected. And it represents collectively a lot of people relative to the lake. But this is just different. I mean, Minnesota's right there.
Well, I understand. Yeah,
yeah.
That makes it tougher.
And then the whole management of the Mississippi River, it's a national wildlife refuge and a national transportation corridor. And they're both recognized by Congress as being important.
And when you do a project on there, Minnesota gets a vote. Iowa gets a vote. They all get a vote.
Yeah.
So you got to convince them that that's a good project. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, you have to have all of that.
Okay. So you're the, let's say you're the CEO of that project, of that process, and then all of a sudden you got different people. Somebody quits, gets retired, and in walks a new person, and you got a whole different way of looking at things when it comes to the. How do I vote?
Well, there's no deadlines.
Well, there's deadlines, but they're not firm.
Well, they move.
Yeah.
They move. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
No, really.
I gotta figure this out.
It's a whole
deadline.
You gotta
keep
asking
questions. Really, if we can actually
right.
come up with something that says this is our vision,
right.
and everybody says, yeah, that's a good idea. Wow. That would be amazing. So, then also
anything's better than it continuing to go where it's going.
Yeah,
I agree.
Unless that's the chosen path.
It's written that it was unstoppable.
Yeah.
So,
anything more on the facilitated meeting?
No.
Okay. The next is related discussion of possible action on. Lake District expansion strategy, and I think out of this process that we could get some understanding of what the community perceptions are and whether we could fashion some sort of a strategy to involve more of the communities. And I think it's good. We don't actually do it, they do it. This is what we want to do, and you know. You can ask them, but they're going to have to decide for themselves.
Well, when we have this big, giant meeting of stakeholders, I mean, it should be, it's obviously be open to the public, but if we can get as many people there as possible, they can kind of see all the different layers that have to be solved. So maybe people will kind of understand why we can't just do it.
You're in the when you look at the law around public domain, it's not the same as the law around private.
it's a whole different world. And this is, we're talking about public domain. So, the principles are different. The outcome and the way of doing it may be the same, but it's a different process.
And I'm kind of getting, I'm sorry, you didn't close the door.
No, we didn't.
So, I think the results of that discussion might help drive what the role of the Lake District could be, so it would be tied into that conversation. Like, what are the limits, what are the boundaries? Is the Lake District the right kind of government entity to, you know, include more community? Like, that should all be part of that discussion.
Historically, the Lake District called a meeting, invited the agencies. Some came, some didn't, depending on how busy they were or what the subjects were. And that worked out pretty good because essentially the Lake District had an opportunity to talk to the agencies. Right? And then over time, things changed from the standpoint of how decisions got made, both in Congress and in the agencies in some way. And there was less public involvement in the decision making, and I'm not saying for that reason or not, but there seemed to be less back and forth between the agencies and the Lake District. That wasn't necessarily true for Fish and Wildlife Service. They were probably the best attenders. Tim?
What's that?
I said Fish and Wildlife Service was always the ones that we invited for agencies to come in. You guys were always usually at the table. And other things that happened with other agencies, like DNR right now has no travel budget. And they don't get any compensatory, if they go to an evening meeting, they don't get any compensatory time, as I understand it. So it depends on what the situation is with the agency.
EMRCC is going on right now too, though.
I know that, yeah.
But none of us can go to that anymore. So.
Billy was there.
He doesn't work for us anymore.
He just gave Fish and Wildlife paper.
Okay. Anything more on discussion Lake District expansion strategy? I don't think we have much more to guide that yet. Discussion and possible action to appoint a Lake District Commissioner. And I think we talked about that, and it would be good to have somebody from Don Campbell. And I think some people have talked to other people, but nobody's stepped forward as of yet.
Well, data pointed out to wait till after the election.
Right.
That would be the timing to
advance
that.
Right.
And then Anatona Campbell themselves appoints someone that makes sense to be on there, so he can relate, or that person can relate to the town board with the goings on.
And we had at our last meeting, you were going to draft a letter that I would send, but we were going to wait till after the election.
Right, after the election.
Got that in place.
No, right.
It's in a couple weeks. So.
Yeah. Discussion of summer events, including One Mississippi River Days of Action. So I guess if we do something that involves the public, which we traditionally do, and done, or if we do something different, we should coordinate with One Mississippi on the Days of Action and just let them know what we're doing and the opportunities there, and they can advertise it if they want. So it's pretty simple. It's just a big messenger board of places that people can go to find out about the river, or to participate, or to learn. Anybody, so we've traditionally had pontoon tour or a social, or both. And the socials are pretty, and I think this time we'd be over on French Island, as the last one was at Red Pines. I'm pretty sure of that. if that's what we choose. And pontoon tours, they're good. If the paths are cut, we can, over time the pontoon tours got pretty much, they were confined to the travel channels, because there really wasn't a good, other than going around behind, you know, the island, follow the dredge channels. But yeah.
So Brad Dinsmore's on here. I just wanted to throw something out. I don't know if it would work. If the Cross Sailing Club could be a venue for a social.
Yeah, that's totally possible.
Because you have a point, you know, where it sticks out into the lake, where a lot could be discussed right from that.
Yeah, we just
that
just
point.
Oh, absolutely. That would be a good location. Absolutely.
So Brad, then we usually send a postcard out to our membership, the people that live in the Lake District, and I assume you'd probably do the same or notify your members. That would be a good opportunity to do that. We just have to figure out how we do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and we're all on board. We'd be happy to help make that work in any way we can.
Okay, and these are usually a weeknight evening. So we've got, it's in June, so we've got almost summer solstice, daylight evenings.
Yeah.
We could piggyback some boat tours on it or not. I mean, you're kind of on the lake when you're on that.
And you're at a good spot on the lake.
Hmm? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And if the weather would be questionable, we've got the big shelter out there, which we could put comfortably 50 to probably 50 people in there if we had to. So if the weather doesn't cooperate, we've got to still have a place to meet.
So that would also be an opportunity for both the Lake District and the Sailboat Club to kind of talk about how they serve their membership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Mm. Yep.
All right. Is that something that?
And so, Brad, if we tried to put this on the River Days of Action calendar, we'd be between June 1 and 15. Are there any Sailing Club events that is there a night that we
no, the only times, the only ones that we have, we have one big social event, which would be either on a Friday night or a Saturday night in June. Otherwise, there's racing out there. One of the fleets races usually on a Tuesday, but that's fine. They have places to park and everything. You're not interrupting anything at night. That'll be fine. As long as we have a date, we can get it on our calendar, and I can make sure we can control to make sure that we don't have any conflicts out there.
Okay, so you got the parking is not a problem, right?
No, because we got the lot for Nelson Park. You have all that lot, and so that should suffice. Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's no overflow.
No. Well, there is a little bit to the south of the lot at Nelson Park. There's an overflow there, and then people can. Because it does happen, people can park on Lakeshore Drive there, but the thing is, they got to park on the side that's away from the houses, so we don't piss off the neighbors.
Yeah.
We try and be as nice as possible to them. So if they park on that would be the east side of Lakeshore Drive, that's okay. And that's happened a lot, not necessarily with events for us, but when there have been other events out there, fishing tournaments and that sort of thing. There's been wedding parties, wedding events out at the park there. You know, people do park along the road.
Okay, good. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate
yep.
it. Good. Should we get a motion to approve collaborating with Sailboat Club?
That would help.
Okay, I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we work with Brad from the Sailboat Club for
okay.
our...
For a social.
For our social.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll second it.
Second, Rob seconds. Anything else? We can fill in the blanks in the, you know, when we find out what dates are going to be.
I would think... you guys know them and can come up with a date.
Yeah.
I don't think anything, we're not gonna have to pass them, I mean.
No.
I think we'd pass it just because you came up with a good date, correct?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Brad, be thinking about a date, running out of time.
All right.
Thanks, we will.
Well, it's gonna have calendar right now.
Yeah.
We need to vote, we have a motion on the floor.
Okay, we got a motion on the floor, any further discussion, if not, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Dredge project fundraising report and planned operations update. So we had the fundraiser yesterday, really, really good turnout. Unfortunately, some people left because it was too long to get dinner, or they couldn't find a parking spot.
That's what Red Pines is?
Red Pines, yeah. This is the Red Pines, you know, St. Patrick's Day fundraiser for the dredge project.
Yeah.
And, I saw what we, at the end of the night, I saw what, we had a rough number of maybe 25,000, which wasn't bad for, from 11 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And I'm not sure what the expenses are, so we don't have a target number, but it was, there were seven individual $1,000 contributions. So that was pretty impressive. And my wife was selling raffle tickets and she didn't put the pen down, or didn't put, hand out raffle tickets, so, until about 4:30. So it was busy, people had a good time. So, and I think a lot of Irish food got eaten, and a lot of dark beer got drunk.
So as far as operations, I mean, they're still hopeful that summertime, June, July, I don't know if you.
They're still talking about.
Timeframe, and I heard you say you tried to work with them for any other permitting issues that came up to resolve, if they do have enough money to go forward this summer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're talking about pumping it on land, maybe behind metallics, or maybe in the field, there, one or two.
And dewatering it all there.
And dewatering it. So there's no public land deposit involved.
Okay, and then in terms of operations, I think permits expire in October-ish, so they, I think there was a deadline, they have to do it this summer.
Right.
Or else I think October sometime.
Right. And I know that, I think that this week that Chad was gonna do sampling, but I suspect he's gonna wait another week.
I did talk to him this morning, he just got some special gear to do it with.
Okay.
So
he's ready to,
ready
do
to
it.
Go.
As it opens up enough, he'll be there. So. And somebody's gonna try and document the process, you know, do the sampling, put it on film.
Oh, great.
Not as bad as dredging Bryce Perry Channel. We have a video, it's from Furry Roth. He did a Super 8 movie, but that technology was kind of blurry and you have to hold the camera still.
Oh.
And some of it's, you can see what's going on, where they're pumping the material, you can see the up and down the channel. So we're probably gonna have to pick some of the scenes and put it together so that, because it's 20 minutes and, you know, you wouldn't hold the attention of the general public because it's Super 8 film. There's no sound. So, but it's a dredging project on Lake Alaska. There's been quite a few of them, but three that were significant for the lake, and that is the 1989 project with the dredge channels, the Bryce Perry Channel project, and then there was some targeted dredging in different places to try to keep boat channels open. So
So Mark, they're roughly short $70,000 then?
Roughly.
How are they gonna come up with that, or how's, what's the thoughts on that? Are we having another fundraiser coming up, or?
I assume there's either gonna be, I don't know, I'm not, you know, every time I talk to this, some, they'll say, well, we've got these other options, or these grants, or whatever, so they're continuing to work on that. Yeah.
So this is the BPCA dredge project, so they have a meeting on next,
When's it next?
25th. And so I think by then they should have a pretty good idea what the, you know, where we're sitting, because we kind of, this is too early yet, but I think by next week we'll go have a pretty good handle on it.
So, you know, and I know that a couple of guys from the LORC were also looking at different ways, and that's really what, this one really came from LORC. But it has to go through PBCA because of the 501(c)(3). It's just as complicated as the river.
So when that happens, you were saying somebody is going to video it?
Yeah. That's the plan. That's why I talked to some people that were looking at it. I think it was Kent Stephan. He told me there's a plan to video the steps they're doing to go through the dredge project.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah. It is, because I've never seen anybody do that. There might be out there someplace, but I've not seen it.
Okay, 2.5 minutes left.
Okay.
We can restart if we have to.
Lake District mail list from the county. There's been different requests for the mailing list, but we haven't really dealt with that as the board. The mailing list comes from La Crosse County, and when I was first exposed to that, they said, you can use it for your mailing list, but don't broadcast it. So I don't know. And I've talked to people at the county, but I can't seem to get a clear decision from them about, because it is public record, but it's an important public record. And there's some privacy things that have got to do with it. So I'm assuming that we are careful with the distribution of it, and it should be for public purpose.
Is that the letter that Jeff Femright sent out?
Yeah.
That's this was referring to?
Yeah. And you saw the letter?
Yeah.
Anybody here hasn't seen it?
Hasn't.
Well, he like what should be public record.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
Here, look.
Thanks.
Careful, Art.
I may have just missed it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're under 1 minute, Zoom people. I'll restart the meeting and let it go blank.
So Jeff, on a regular basis, would put out a blog,
yep,
and other things, and first he asked for the news release, and I said, just send it to Fritz, okay? And then,
blogs are very informative.
Yeah.
You can learn
So, I mean, what's the pleasure of the board as far as how do we interrelate so that we're collaborating but not overwhelming, you know? I mean, they're once a week.
The blogs?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought it was
a month or so.
Yeah, I thought you should have done some.
Got it, Fritz?
No, I'm wondering if we ran into dates. Sometimes you get in the way.
For sure.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, we gotta wait 9 more minutes.
9 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, that happens.
Do you want to wait for the, we had Barb and Brad on there.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be 9 more minutes.
Before they get on?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to wait or not.
No, I mean, I just don't want to sit here. Because you can't do anything if you're, you know, so. Anybody got some thoughts on this?
Well, I think we
need to keep control of the mailing list.
Yeah, and one of the things for the electronic part, I had asked Jeff to, he would send out these long things. I says, here, send this out. I says, put that on your website. I'd like to link to it. So it doesn't look like we're sending it out.
Yeah.
Because there's we and us in there. It's not we and us here. So I can't literally take it. It needs to be rewritten to be not from the first person viewpoint.
Sure.
So I asked him to do that, and there were some lags, and that was some of his frustration. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request. For example, the La Crosse Sailing Club, when they get it, that's what they do. They just put two-sentence summary, link to the blog,
yeah,
and
that's
that page is there. And I think that's the appropriate way for that to happen.
Absolutely.
The electronic part. I don't think it should go, the long part should go out under our, from us. It should link to them.
Yep. And then in one case, there was
thanks, Tim. If you guys have any questions, you know how to get a hold of me. Oh, and my number has changed. We went to Teams calling, so just you got to call my cell number now. So
that's what I do.
My other number's gone.
What is your cell number, sir?
It's 608-304-5854.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Enjoy the weather.
Yeah.
Snow's melting.
Yeah.
So, then essentially send the link, and then we can put that in a short message, and if somebody chooses to click on the link, that works.
Yeah, because I would get emails like, well, you know, how do I do gifts for the the fundraiser? I mean, it was confusing. That long message would need to be rewritten from the first. It was in first person.
Yeah.
So it was, anyway. I think the simplest way to do it is if they have a blog page and we link to it. That's what the Sailing Club chose to do, for example, was another.
And there wasn't any problem with that, with the Sailing Club?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think it took Jeff a while to rewrite to do that.
Yeah.
Before we could link to it.
Okay. All right. Anything else relative to that?
The only other thing I just, especially with the fundraiser, there were very frequent requests coming out from LORC to do stuff. And I think we need to be respectful of our mailing list. You know, we want people to keep reading them, but they're not getting it like every single day. So there's an optimal timing.
Right.
So maybe once, you know, we would want some guidance to put it out like once a week, but not more than that. I had multiple requests within a week to put stuff out. They just be flying at me. And so like this last one I put out was a combination of meeting notice and fundraising notice. So we weren't overwhelming our people with. So they read it and not just like put it in the trash. So I don't know if you want any guidance from this group about what the optimal frequency of sending messages out to our people. I might suggest like once a week, unless it's urgent, to not do it more than once a week. So we're not
Everybody got any thoughts on that?
It's a good idea.
I think his only urgency of it was they're trying to raise money and we're not. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, so they still have the pressure of trying to get things done, and maybe that's where he's kind of mass mailing so people will do something. We're not looking for money right now. I mean, we always are, but we're not. But maybe it's just the frequency that's what they're trying to keep their machine moving. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why he's doing it,
mm-hmm.
that frequency. That's the only thing I would think.
Yeah, and it was...
I mean, there were a lot of people there yesterday. I was there for like 10 minutes just to see something. So
that list, there's 3,000 that came from Red Pines. And then there's a couple of other lists, not the Lake District list. They would have gotten a notice of it, yeah. But there were Bryce Perry, their list. There was one more. Anyway, so there might have been 4,500 people that got a notice. So, yeah, there was a lot of people there. Okay. Don't need any further action on that. Schedule the next meeting. How about sometime in April?
After the election.
After the election.
A bit.
Yeah.
Right? The election the 7th?
Yes. So, April would be... The 7th is the first Tuesday, so after tax day, or doesn't that make a difference?
Are you saying the 21st?
21st, 22nd, in that week?
Yeah, something not the week of taxes, because
yeah.
I'm always depressed. So.
Okay, so...
Something that happens, you just are.
I think I pay enough already.
You know? You'll go kick the can, that's all you can do.
Boy, I guess so. Yeah. Okay, after this. So, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, that's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday's probably our less.
Monday the 20th?
Yeah.
20th.
I'm out on the 20th or 21st.
Okay, so 22nd or 20th?
You don't have to have me, but.
Well.
No, you're.
But you want all the commissioners.
And you're a big cog. We want to make sure you're here because you have lots of.
Somebody else has to take notes.
You have lots of input.
I'm not here.
That too.
22nd and 23rd?
Works for me at this point.
How about everybody else?
Yeah. That's 22nd is fine.
I've gone that whole week, so.
You're what?
I'm going to go on that whole week.
Okay.
So, you guys do what you got to do. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll be off the board at that point.
Yeah, so it'll be somebody new.
Yeah, Jeff or whoever.
Whoever.
Yeah, whoever wins the election.
Yeah. 22nd or 23rd then, okay. Well, wait a minute. That's an appointment that's made later.
I think all appointments are made April 20th. That's what I...
So 20th?
Yeah.
Okay. So by the 22nd or 23rd, we should have it. Okay. All right, does anybody have a preference?
I put both dates down, so if you come up with it and just send out, I can do
that. Okay. Sounds good. Luke, you all right with that?
I'm good.
Okay.
I also want to ask, just in terms of the minutes, what I've been doing so we have a website, and I've been putting draft minutes out there, clearly labeled draft. I don't know if it's your pleasure to do that or not, but also out there I've been putting the recording. So, like, if you wanted, you could go back to the recording from the horse's mouth. Because I did do, as Dave noted, a little bit longer. That's a little dangerous sometimes, but if somebody would question something and it was before the next meeting, 4 minutes could be corrected. The recording's always there. You could grab it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Are you guys comfortable with putting draft minutes out and as long as the recording is there?
As long as the word draft is up there.
Yeah. What's the website?
LincolnAlaska.org.
Call it that one.
Okay. somebody planning to going to Stevens Point for the convention?
Probably one day for me. And
which day is that going?
15, 16, 17, probably, I think the 16th, because 15 is like workshop-y tours and stuff.
So. Yeah.
And what is that?
It's the annual Lake District convention. It's a learning, they have a lot of presentations by a lot of people, like how to run a Lake District, how to do water quality sampling, how to get the public more involved, that kind of stuff.
Are you going?
Yeah, there's one day that's all about dams. And what do we got? We got a dam.
We're over there.
Yeah.
It's more of a spillway, isn't it?
Huh?
What day is that, Mark?
I gotta go look.
Let me know.
Okay.
I might go.
I'll send you the material. So.
15, 16, 17. It's at Stevens
Point.
It's just
gonna be one day over and back.
I gotta go up that way anyway, so.
Yeah.
Work up first.
So I just have the big Holiday Inn there in Stevens Point.
The what?
The Holiday Inn.
Oh, the Holiday Inn.
Oh, Holiday Inn.
Yeah, that was built when I was going to school there.
Middle of the world.
Huh?
Middle of the world, the Holiday Inn at Stevens Point.
It was envisioned that all state meetings would take place at
right, exactly, yeah. All buses are always there.
You don't really realize how big Wisconsin is until you have to drive to like Wausau.
Yeah.
I'm Wausau, Green Bay.
I'm a Vikings fan. I'll never drive to Green Bay.
Well, that's fine. But I mean, or you're going skiing up north in northern Michigan.
Oh, I know, but there's just, I had to go to a wrestling tournament in Wausau. I'm like, oh my God.
Driving home from Aquinas basketball game.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Back in my early days. Oh, those were long rides. Oh,
oh God. And I was coaching yeah. girls hockey, and we knew Hudson and New Richmond. And is that your telephone? Okay. So we got the next meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Move by Dave.
I'll second.
By Tom.
Second. Thanks, guys.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Hey, don't feel bad about all the stuff you don't know.